Blog Talk Radio.
You're on the show.
Hey, how you doing? We got 313. We have, of course, Jimmy and Scotty, and this is March. Can you believe it? March 6th without baseball. Take it away, boys.
Yep. Good evening. Baseball, yeah. Baseball. I posted something this last week that I think needs to be addressed. And hopefully, I'm hoping, Mel will be on here, but in Fort Wayne, they posted a threat to the workers. Did you guys hear that or find out about that?
I didn't hear that. Go ahead.
Well, they're basically going to make them go to a six-day schedule. If they don't, they're going to take their work to Mexico and to Oshawa.
It's already being sent to Oshawa anyway. They're already being told they're getting that work.
Right.
It's pit against workers, Scott. Until we get rid of the tiers, get our pension back, it's going to be screw thy local from every local standpoint of view. I hate to say, guys, we got to get educated and learn how to negotiate with the real boss, you know, just management. We ain't got to worry about our union. We got to do it.
Well, let me work my way over here to the computer. You know, I'll tell you what I come upon. I borrowed it from somebody else.
What's that, buddy?
I borrowed it. I shared it from somebody else. And here it is. Do I get it to open up?
While he's looking for that, we've got a lot
the bargaining,
of people.
This was the bargaining committee report.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Hang on. Hello. I was saying if we got a lot of people on the switchboard, you'd like to join the show, push one on your keypad. Now carry on.
Yes. We have a hard out at 8 tonight. Let everybody know. All right. To continue. Bargaining committee report. From Local 2209, which is Fort Wayne, shop chairman is Rich Lee Tenu. Anyway, manufacturing executive director visit to discuss our future plans. Says that he'll be visiting March 3rd. This is not a good and welfare visit to see how we're doing. He is here to ask me one question, and whether we want our volume for 2022 continue giving it to Mexico and Canada. That is simple and direct. As your chairman, I've always attempted to get out in front of issues years before they actually become issues, especially when it concerns the job security of this membership. We are all guilty of a little industrial amnesia, and that's why I put a lot of things in writing. On April 27, 2018, your shop committee, and I put a letter attempting to avoid a situation that I'll be facing on Thursday. The report was about protecting our volume and keeping our trucks here at Fort Wayne Assembly and avoid putting Mexico at full capacity. I repeated that message in multiple articles, including your last Local Voices and every union meeting as well, back in 2015. It's time to stop listening to the dumb shit and start paying attention to detail. These are the facts. Every single truck plant gets an allotment of trucks. For example, under Plan A, we get approximately 395,000 trucks for the year. Those trucks belong to Local 2209, period. Not Silao, Mexico, or any other destiny of that truck. Not management, and that is a fact. The auto industry is the most cyclic business in the world. This is why your national agreement covers lost units such as breakdowns, part shortages, fires, snow days, riots, and the list goes on. Almost every plant negotiates an agreement to protect that belongs to them so that it doesn't get depleted from that plant because those trucks will not still be ours to build. The agreement outside of Plan A and B is your national agreement are normally a mandated 6-day-a-week work schedule or more. Those agreements that have been signed by the chairman CHOP committee are binding agreement. In 2016, we agreed to make up all of our lost units on voluntary double time Sundays on weekends that were we were already scheduled to work under Plan A. That word voluntary did not make our agreement binding, and you have come in and if you don't want to. Unfortunately, wait a minute, let me say it again. To make up all the lost units on voluntary double time Sundays on weekends that we were already scheduled to work under Plan A, the word voluntary did not make our agreement binding, and you didn't have to come in if you didn't want to. Okay. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, and we basically told the company to build our trucks in Mexico, and they did. And we turned down 14 consecutive Sundays. They stopped asking us to make up our own volume. From 1986 to 2018, we were not given one truck. We were not given one truck to Mexico or any truck facilities. From 2018 to 2022, we've given Mexico over 200,000 of our trucks. On May 2nd, Oshawa starts building our truck, the Silverado Light Duty Crew Cab, across two shifts. The announcement to open Oshawa came 2 years after I put in on the 27th of 2018 letter out. We fought for years to get this crew cab back in out of Mexico. Some of its membership wasn't even born yet when the agreement started. With the help of the International Union and the corporation, we finally were able to get the FWA, and it was, And it was a great day for us. The countless awards and reputation of this membership sacrifice have made this plant a dynasty in the truck world. To give it back to Mexico or Oshawa would be a shame. Mike Trevor, the son of this plant, I've known him for years. He made it very clear last October, that he did not want to give our volume to anyone else. But these are his marching orders from his boss. If FWA does not want to keep their volume, it will need to be phased into Mexico and Oshawa schedule for 2022. Because their contracts had no overtime restrictions, I have no doubt in my mind we will give the next generation combustion engine, but not that it's not GM's future. The only way we integrate in the future is for us to deliver now, as we've done for three decades. He is far from convinced that we want to keep our volume here. It's time for this membership to come together and protect our own quality of life. Mike and I will discuss the current extended local agreement needs, mask and job security agreements that keep three shifts working for an extended period of time. Whatever options we come up with, alternative work schedule, straight eight agreements, or mandatory weekends, it will be consistent throughout the plant. Working weekends is not popular here, so we just need to figure out how to build what belongs to us and not give it away, because soon there will be no need to ask. We have enough tough choices to make soon. I know how this story ends. If the corporation doesn't hit their projected numbers based on our volume, they eliminate departments to cover the cost. Make no mistake about it, your shop committee and I are not selling one job to save yours. You got the wrong guys. Our last MOU brought 318 new members who are still here. The truck pays our bills, and revenue generated covers both your local and national contracts, your wages, benefits, health care, profit sharing, and every skilled trade project in this plant. This truck is also funding any chances we have for an EV investment. The membership in this truck, we ever needed here to have unstoppable bargaining power. We are no longer the king of the truck group. We are now priority four. This will be the first time in 30 years that we'll be asked if we want to keep our volume here in FWA, because in the past it's always been without question. We need to get it back, and we will. If we all want job security, in closing, I can assure you that this, your shop committee and I, and every chairman and committee before us fought too hard to protect our livelihood from the department, and we still have. We have no intentions of giving another truck to Mexico or Canada. All the smart-ass remarks on our 2209 sites don't erase the sins of our past plants. Instead, it should be a consistent reminder of how it ended up here. Those who have never ripped from their families have nothing to compare to it. Why? Because we have weathered storms here to protect our jobs here for this membership, and others were, or when others were having plant closings. I guess you can criticize how we provided for you. We are not a concessionary. We are not in concessionary times. And I repeated that in many articles. This is far from whipsawing. In fact, it's 100% the opposite of that. They want us to build trucks one and a half trucks on time and a half in double time to keep our truck in the USA, not $8.97 a day in straight time on weekends. This is old school as gets, and if people think Walter Ruther is rolling in his grave because we are trying to keep our trucks in the USA, you're wrong. If anything would be more, he would be more mortified. I'm sorry, be more mortified to see how many of our trucks were given to foreign countries, put together, and we will protect this truck to keep it here. If we will keep you updated on what we think your best options here, we'll make the decision together. Signed, Rich. So that's the letter, folks. How do you guys take that?
I don't know. There was a threat. But I think Walter Ruther has been rolling in his grave for a while since he's seen the first person go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get you guys. Adrian's here too. Adrian is here and Paul's coming. Okay, guys.
Good evening, Dad. Is it not a, carry on.
Okay, so, I mean, to me, it sounded like a threat, too. I understand what he's saying. If we don't work, you're going to move our product somewhere else. But in the meantime, I think the way it was set out is it shows that Mexico and Canada are going to be getting more of your product. And if you don't do it here, they're going to send it somewhere else. So you
right.
got to do this or else. I take that as a threat.
Scott, think about this. Scott. They're already a different union down there. So this is just another form of whipsawing. Now you got three different unions, which in one time were all under the same banner. Think about that. This is just whipsawing. If you don't do it for this price, we're going to do it for that price, and we're going to take a beer. Like I said, this is their way to get rid of tears, to get rid of so much crap. I see. Take it away, Adrian. Put your quarter in. You're better, wiser than me.
No comment.
Another thing, Scott. I'm hearing all kinds of crap. You know, Terry Diddles, you know, he signed to retire, correct? But nobody's understanding from what I'm being told. That was part of his plea agreement. He cooperate and retire. Imagine that, folks.
Who is that?
Terry Diddles. The VP over GM. I was told with his cooperation and what they had him on, he was told cooperate and retire.
Wow. Well, we got to be able to confirm that so we can really have some meaningful discussion around that.
You ain't going to be able to confirm what's under a gag clause. They ain't going to talk about it. And you know these delegates aren't going to talk about it because that's a bad mark on anybody that's from the region up right now. You don't want to be part of this administration. That's why this election coming up in convention is so damn critical.
Yes, it is. I think, I can't remember the local number. They had a union meeting today, and they were talking about the Constitutional Convention. I did not know if they talked about the elections or not. They talked about the convention. So there's some movement out there. And I truly think that they're going to wait until the last minute to post everything that they can. That's just my opinion, though.
Carry on, I believe.
I found out that international and the local and the region have sent out the letters to the locals with the information as to far as when are the elections or what the parameters are as far as time, but my local hasn't done anything about it yet.
Right.
Did 600 get it? Because I called and they said they
hadn't
got it.
They lied. Imagine that. I talked to 1A on last Thursday. This past Thursday. I talked to somebody there. I don't remember his name. I probably should start writing this shit down, but yeah, he says it's been sent out for the 600. It's up to 600 to make their announcement. Who'd you talk to at 600?
I talked to Nick. But it was
not fucking so.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago, but yeah.
You said you talked to Nick. Nick is over at 600?
Yeah. But that's okay. Whatever.
I thought he was the chairman of the truck plant.
He's at local 600, the truck plant, yeah.
No, that's two separate things. That's how Adrian's trying to confirm. No, Adrian, you're right. He is just he's the president at the truck plant. He is not the local president, so.
He's the plant chairman. Bernie Ricci is the local president.
I know who the president of local 600 is. I was trying to find out, because of what you were saying, was Nick over at the local. Nick is not at the local. Nick is the chairman of the truck plant.
Yeah, I
know. Is that correct? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know.
So we got to get 313. Nick is the chairman at the truck plant.
That's just the way Adrian said it. Yes. Carrie was just generalizing things, I guess you could say. But, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that's how it rolls. He is a chairman at over the truck plant, not the Rouge, because each part has their own little get well club. So.
Right. And Brady brought up four things. Yeah.
I love that.
Ford is going to, it sounds like they are going to split their manufacturing and bring off their own separate wing for electric vehicles.
All right, so let me fill you in on that. I'm not sure what they're up to, but they've been having a bit of a time trying to get people to go over to the electric truck plant. Now, mind you, there's nothing to do for the most part. I don't even think they're making like 60 vehicles a week. But, yeah, they're getting that darndest time because they offered it, of course, to more seniority people. Yeah,
right.
But they're almost to the point where they're going to start forcing low seniority to take these jobs. So I don't understand why. Maybe it's just lack of knowledge. I don't know. As far as why people don't want to go. I know, Carrie, did you fill out a bid to go over there or no?
I did fill out a bid to go over there, and I'll tell you why. And a lot of people I've talked to about it that have some time, anytime they start up something new, they start out with a whole shitload of people, and then they downsize it to where you're doing a gazillion jobs. So that's why I didn't sign up for it, because right now they might have the staffing where your job won't be so bad, but by the time that they tweak it and all that, no.
And another thing that they've
signed up for that.
And another thing they've been doing is, oh, this isn't the old Ford. We're developing a new Ford with the new plant, because that's what I guess what management said. New plant, new rules. So
right.
Yeah.
Not exactly sure what that, and I'm sure it has something to do with the fact that they're going to pull some shit because it is a new plant.
If you pay you do here, because that electric plant is actually part of final. And body and paint, it falls under that umbrella. It doesn't fall under safety or anything like that with different, you know, the a different, like, you know what I'm saying.
Yes, because, I mean, even though they say that it's, you know, it's its own entity, they're still going to feed off a body and paint, not so much the final assembly building. So,
right.
I mean, that's
right.
That's what we're getting at with that.
But if you're paying, you can do, I don't care what they say, new plant, new rules, whatever. If you pay, you can do. You have just as much right as anybody else has. Final, paint, or body. So I don't know what they're talking about. I mean, they have to go by contractual language. So I hope they don't. You know, I wonder if because they got a lot of new people over there, if they're not going to try to put some bullshit with all that. You know what I mean? They're not just walking in off the street new.
Right. A lot of times when they do start up, and we've all seen this if we've been around an assembly plant, when they launch, they have more there to make sure it runs smooth and launches hopefully the way that they want it to, and then they start figuring out how they can reduce the personnel. It's this thing that our union has went along with. We don't agree with it. If you talk to some people, we don't agree with it. Is that they have an agreement with management that they'll reduce the manpower every year by a certain percentage. And my argument is, they've been doing this for 20 years. How come we're also working?
Yeah.
Right.
We got another caller at 586 area code coming up right now. 586.
How you doing?
Hello.
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 How you doing?
Hello. Might I make
How
a
are you
suggestion?
Doing? Sure.
If you know anybody that works in the mod center, talk to them, because they have a little different agreement also. But they are still part of the truck plant.
They are officially on retirement at the mod center. They don't do nothing all day long. You got to have like 40 years in just to be considered for the mod center.
But it wasn't that way when it first started. Now that I could tell you.
I mean, honestly, I think the only thing they mess with is the rafter. And a few here and there, but like, yeah, for the most part,
no,
that is.
What I'm talking about is the agreement part. The agreement or their local agreement part may not be the same as in the truck plant.
Right.
And so the electric vehicle plant will have a different local agreement because it's a separate building.
All right, now Mod Center is part of DTP, so how
that
would they have
correct.
A different local?
That's why I say talk to somebody that's over in the Mod Center. Remember, there are dual chair people and committee people for that mod center, because the mod center is located in the engine plant. That chairman in the engine plant is over that whole building.
I thought the mod center was in the back of body.
No. It's in the engine plant, the back of the engine plant.
Romeo engine?
Scotty, look at your look at the switchboard.
No, we have
6. Good.
No, we have engine plant here at the truck or at the Rouge, but it doesn't supply the engines for the truck plant.
That's correct.
No, someone said Romeo. But no, it's not Romeo. It's here.
Okay. Because I see what's going on. They announced the ICE program, Blue for Blue, then the EV program, and then the mod is going to be the supplier or whoever, whatever. They bought the train station downtown, Ford did, and that's going to be their EV center. But they still got the glass house. From my understanding, they're going to...
What in the world?
With the internal combustion engine plant.
Okay.
I mean, currently, they're... I don't know what they tore down there across from the test track in Oakwood, but they're investing a buttload of money over there on Oakwood, across from the testing the test track there on Oakwood. So they've been working on that for almost 2 years now, because it used to be where the wind tunnel was. So I think either they moved the wind tunnel or it's still there, but I can't tell driving by. But yeah, they definitely got stuff going on over there. I'm assuming it has something to do with the electric truck. I think the train station was going to be more Ford staking its presence in Detroit for the aesthetic, you know, of being in Detroit. Like GM bought the Rinsen, and now Ford bought the old train station, and it's visible from 75 and maybe 96 too, but. It's just they're staking their stake in Detroit again. So I think that's all the train station's about. Not that it's going to be the new hub for the electrical vehicle.
Right. You there?
Thank you. Yeah. We're all here waiting for you.
Well, no.
No, I got to self-mute, you know. Otherwise Don gets a stick up his butt and he mutes me and I can't get back on.
Well, I work at, this is WW, 586. I work at the Van Dyke Transmission Plant. And right now they're working on the electrical vehicle for the truck. We also do transmissions. We did the hybrid. It's all going to be electric there. You know, the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Because they move everything out to Livonia as far as the internal combustion.
Okay. Welcome to the show, WW.
Thank you.
What part of the electric truck are you guys putting together, the drive for each wheel, or?
As far as I know, because I'm not getting involved, they're putting in what they're doing right now is they're doing the power train. There's a lot of feedback in the background.
Sure.
That's better. Thank you. Right now they're working on the power train, because Van Dyke Transmission changed their name to Ford Van Dyke Powertrain Company. I've been there probably 16 years.
Wow.
And,
it's always fell under powertrain. That's really strange that they did that.
Well, it's because it's going to be electric here.
Yeah.
We're doing
right.
A truck powertrain. I don't know anything about the motors or whatever, but I mean, as far as I know, it's the powertrain of the vehicle. And,
mm-hmm.
You know.
So
right now, I'm
maybe
working
this
on an F8.
Question for you, WW. Do you still receive anything from Livonia Transmission, any parts?
I'm not sure, but right now we're working on F6s and F8s.
Okay.
And that's the rear wheel or whatever, front wheel, whatever. But it's the gas, internal combustion, the ICE.
Okay.
Which is one before blue. We send a lot to Europe and China.
Okay.
I'm not sure what we're doing for America because I know Livonia does a lot of the other ones. They do the 10-speed and they back us up. But, you know, I notice that on the F6s and 8, I don't think we do any machining for that because we have to take it out of dunnage to put it on a pallet so it'll roll back and put it on the line.
Okay. It's been years. I worked at Livonia in 99, and I knew we had a whole section that sent parts or completed parts to Van Dyke. I didn't know if they were still doing that.
See, I'm not sure.
Okay. I'll check that out and find out for next week.
Okay. Sounds good. Because, I mean, I know my plant's been under a lot of renovation.
Okay.
I mean, they tear out the floors, new concrete, new power lines and bus lines, and everything's, you know, robotics. It's all automated.
Mm-hmm.
Take a lot less people. They'll put more work on the less people, and because that's what CNC does, automation.
Right. They're probably putting in what's called a floating floor, and I'm going to recommend to you to really have your feet checked.
Say that again.
They're probably putting in what's called a floating floor.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
What's that
mean? To protect the machinery, the vibrations of the machinery. It does not help us as humans. So make sure that you get your feet checked.
Right.
And so that you can make sure that you're wearing the proper shoes and socks.
Hard on the feet, ankles, knees, hips, and back.
Knee, yes. Some floating floors are not good for us.
No. But this might have some light in here. So there's a quote. And this is a quote from Jim Farley, who is the CEO for Ford. He says, we have too many people. We have too much investment. We have too much complexity. And we don't have enough expertise in transitioning in our assets. He said, and this was at the auto conference on Wednesday, he also said that management team firmly believes that our ICE and BEV portfolios are under-earning. Under-earning. Right?
So are the employees. And then for years.
It's hard to earn something if you ain't making them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Scott, how long are we going tonight?
I'm sorry. 8 o'clock hard out, folks. Just let everybody know.
You need to continue.
Right. Also, General Motors lost its bid to avoid recalling 727,000 small SUVs in the U.S. with headlight beams that can be too bright and cause glare for oncoming drivers. So, I don't know. I look a very short and sweet.
Imagine that, something from GM being too bright.
Yeah. Always used to be Ford had the right idea, right? But
they had the better idea.
That's right, the better idea, not the bright.
Oh, that's right.
Or like
the light bulb
hard as a rock.
That's right.
They ain't even got that no more. Bob Seger needs to get a hold of them, because when a shopping cart can F up a bumper of a brand new 21 pickup rolling into it, there's something wrong. I mean, they're telling me $600 damage from an empty shop cart rolling across it. I watched it happen.
So it wasn't like a rock. It was more like margarine, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it literally rolled the back bumper up. I mean, I couldn't believe it.
Right. Well, this petition covers basically the GMC Terrain from 2010 through 2017. So that's one model. And this last week, a lot of people have been listening and paying attention. It was on the news that the Federal Highway Transmission or Transmission, yeah. Federal Safety said that they were looking at changing headlights in the future. Well, headlights are a concern for the automotive industry, lighting in general, because driving is 85% vision. And a lot of people don't drive at night because they have a hard time seeing to begin with. So I'm interested to see how this is going to play out, because we went to LEDs, and I understand they're brighter, but they're not as, I don't think they're as offensive as the iridescent kind of high beam. I'm not sure. I mean, I know they're bright. I don't know. I think it's going to be more than just safety. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be more than just safety.
They're bright, but they don't have the depth. They don't go out very far out into the field. But this is just going to be a start of this crap. I don't know what to say, because your trucks are higher up, so they're looking straight into the headlights of my truck. I get it. But I also want to address, back in the 70s, we worried about blind spots in cars. We obviously don't do that anymore.
Right. Right. Yeah. You're spot on. Also, I forgot to mention when we're talking about Farley, I love the bumbling words from our international executive president, Mr. Curry. He said on this, he says, UAW Ford members are proud of the work that they do each and every day, and none of that changes under this newly announced structure. The UAW will play a key role helping Ford assert its leadership while maintaining good-paying union jobs in those businesses. We embrace the challenge of a new technology as an opportunity while we maintain our strong commitment to union jobs under the current and any future Ford collective bargaining agreements. But the part that gets me is he said they're going to play a key role in helping Ford assert its leadership. This is coming from our president. Just a thought. I'm sorry. It was just a side note on this whole thing, I guess, right?
I'm the only one that seems was like admitting he wants to ethnic cleanse the UAW.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, God, it sounds like you're having a problem with him telling the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. No kidding.
Well, we all see where this is going. We all see
sure.
where this is going, except for International Union. And he's talking about good paying jobs. You talking about the tier jobs, you jackass? Sorry.
Hey,
any of you guys
spot on.
Starting wage?
Here, here.
Any of you guys got the average salary on that new chip plant they're putting in Ohio? I believe it was $125,000 or $135,000 a year. But that's going to be non-union. They did say that. You know what? I wish our leaders, and you talk about we see the end picture. We do, Harry. We see the end picture for us. But them is sitting at that table and feeding off that trough. If there's other people that are going to fill in our voids is what I'm trying to say. They've already proved that because they went outside of aerospace and agricultural. I'm sorry, but they did.
Right. Oh, and speaking of which, we're going to have another vice president that's going to retire this year also in July. Terry Ditas, however you want to say his name. The guy that's got the GM department, how is that?
Don't believe it till I see it.
Well, that's why I'd like to know. I'd like to see these FBI reports to find out if he retired because of his agreement he's got to cooperate and then retire. I mean, he's even in his letter, I think he said he only had, 22 years, didn't he?
Well, I know he's 63 years old.
Yep, I think he come on staff through Jokic. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's 22, 23 years, but age correct. But I'm just saying, you look at all these international people, why do we have problems? And then you look at them and ain't one of these bastards worked in a plant. Gee, no wonder. They don't have a clue what's going on. Take it away.
Well, that's why they sell us down the river to the very companies we work for. It don't matter.
Yeah.
It don't matter. We're in here humping and trying to work our asses off just to make a living, being crippled up on one job. You know, they're out of touch. When you don't experience something and know what it's like, it makes it almost impossible for anybody to relate. And then they hold a position to make decisions on these jobs. And you know, the scary part about him retiring is you got to think, wonder which ding-dong they're going to put in their net. They're scary. You know?
One member, one vote. We don't know who's going to get in there next, right?
Right.
Hey, not supposed to.
But who's to say, you know, before we can get that all going on, they just go ahead and appoint somebody else.
He's there to July 31st until after the convention.
Yes. Correct.
At least that's what that letter says. Like
yep.
I said, I don't believe it till I see it happen.
Right. Right.
But as far as, a lot of them being out of touch, a lot of them not working plant floors or facilities. You know, you're surrounded by all of these people. You've got appointed people. You've got people on the executive board. A lot of them have worked inside. You all don't get together and confer before your top person makes a decision that is just totally wrong for the membership. You don't listen to nobody. You just jump and make a decision. That's what it seems like anyway. But
Paul, it's like a marriage. It's just like a marriage, you know.
Okay.
The wife is the UAW, and the husband is the membership. We told what the fuck we're supposed to do. I got a stick on that bed.
Wow.
Paul, straighten them out. Straighten
Hello?
Them out, Paul.
Well, you're going to be married for a long time.
What he did say in that letter is he's going to retire after the convention. So if his team gets their ass kicked, he's retiring. If his
right.
team doesn't, he's probably going to stay on. This is an old play. This is like a Polish Hail Mary where he just sits on the sideline and he lets somebody else do his dirty work for him.
Yep.
Sorry,
that's what I'm
dude.
Looking at.
calling it like it is a piece of shit move, and he knows it.
And it was rumored that Cindy Estrada was going to do the same thing. She's going to retire. That's just a rumor, because no letter has been put out on that.
What plan did she come out of?
Hello? Yes.
What plan did she come out of?
None. She ain't worked for nobody. Well,
she came out of the bar.
She didn't work for the membership either.
Come out of the bar out of local 600.
Right.
Was it the 600? She worked at the Mustang?
At the bar.
The Mustang was a bar.
Not the Mustang you're thinking about over there, buddy.
The Mustang Ranch.
Well, it's either the Mustang or Dicks on Chicks on Dicks.
I suggest neither one. You know.
Yeah, I didn't think she came out of those bars, but I don't know. I know she come out of a bar, but I don't know which one.
Right.
Correct.
It was her uncle's.
Her dad.
Right. Yeah, and she caught Yokozuna. She was very young. Said she had worked with Cesar Chavez, which I can refute that just on the timelines. When she said what she was doing with him, at that time Cesar was out of the unionism part of it. He was slowly going crazy, and he was fighting with everybody. So that's neither here nor there. But Jokic put her in something with some kind of organizing, because supposedly she worked with Cesar Chavez, and she caught the eye of a Frank White, who was, I guess, who had just come off a divorce, and here's this attractive young lady, and they hit it off, and they end up getting married, and she ends up getting moving right up the chain of command quickly. So,
okay, I want to apologize to 989. I tried to get you on, but I couldn't get through. I put you on, but you just, you got to jump in, folks. 989, I see you're back. Just jump in if you want to get in. Because, I can't announce you because, everybody's having a discussion. So, goes for the rest of everybody. If you want in, I'll put you on. Just jump in. Okay? Okay. Take it away.
Hello. Scotty. 989, you there?
Yeah, hang on. Let me put him on here. 989.
Greetings, you rabble-rousers.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Paul.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what was going on tonight. I was listening to some pretty good stuff there. Regarding the comment by the international leadership being looking forward to helping management assert themselves and more good-paying jobs, helping management means another joint program to help management with more well-paid appointees and more poorly paid people working on the plant floor. And I was listening to the fact that people were reluctant to go over the EV plant. That's a smart thing. Because if you're familiar with what happened with the Delphi fiasco when they spun off Delphi, if you go to the EV plant and it fails, what kind of recall rights do you have to the other Ford plants?
Right. Good point.
That happened down at the Mustang plant. There's a ton of people that thought they were hiring into Ford, but I can't remember what the offshoot name was down at the Mustang plant. But there's guys here I'm working next to a guy who had 10 years in down at the Mustang plant. And then when they announced that whatever they were liquidating or no longer using that name for whatever part or production that they had come up with. He lost all those 10 years. Then they shipped him over here to DTC. And, congratulations. You are now a new hire. And
When they create a spinoff, it's a brand new corporation. So it's not just another local agreement. It's literally another national agreement. And what's the pay scale going to be? Like I said, what's going to happen if it fails? There's no guarantee that this EV thing is going to work because it'll fly on the East and West Coast, but not necessarily in the heartland. And, you know, this whole thing that's going on with the truck organization is because of the lack of leadership at our national union years ago. Because
like Scott keeps bringing up, I mean, it's a new shiny toy.
Yeah.
No, Scott doesn't say that. I'm putting words in his mouth.
But
Scott knows it's going to take a miracle for the EV market to succeed, you know, and they keep talking about internal combustion as the IC, you know, it's like, you can name it whatever you want. The fact of the he's going to jump on this bandwagon of electric vehicles.
Yeah.
And that's just the fact of the matter. How much they market it, how much they make it sound like it's a great new thing, and, you know, that's what it is. It's a new shiny toy for right now, and it's going to die away because, I mean, like we already said, the infrastructure isn't there to support the automaker.
And Elon Musk already has the market. When people think of someone as an expert at building electric vehicles, it's not General Motors, it's Elon Musk. He just recently said we need to start drilling more for oil, you know. And the thing is, we're having a problem with the truck division at General Motors because of the lack of leadership and foresight in the National Union, because years ago when they started playing the concession game and the Canadians wouldn't go along with it, the Canadians withdrew from the UAW. And in the 1990s, General Motors had a pickup truck assembly plant, an S10 assembly plant, an S10 Blazer assembly plant, a medium-duty and heavy-duty truck operation in Pontiac. And management beat them down. It was a strong local. And then they finally just crapped on them, closed them entirely, and opened something in Mexico. You know, the international union needs to start fighting for jobs like other unions do, instead of just going along with management's wishes and not challenging them and accepting their rules and their precepts. They're supposed to be representing us, not helping management make money. What management make at General Motors? Was it $10.6 billion last year?
Yeah, more than that.
That's with all the chaos going on, all the revenue loss, and they made that kind of money off the backs of the workers. It's insane that people are working in plants for half the wage that I made in 2009. This leadership has taken the membership backward contract by contract for 40 years, and it needs to stop. And everybody that's running for delegate, they need to be talking about these issues. The corruption at the top of the union is obviously a given, something that needs to be brought up, but we need to start talking about moving forward instead of going backward where management wants us to be. These tiers are ridiculous. The fact that somebody can work for 50 years for GM and not get a pension or health care is ridiculous. We really need a different direction. Totally.
Right.
Not just some tweaks to our contracts. We need to get back to being a militant union. I mean, it's ridiculous what the teachers union accomplished in San Francisco to keep their membership out of work out of the classroom for well over a year. But that's what you get when you have a strong union. When you have a weak, corrupt union like ours, management closes plants, outsource work. Does whatever they want, and the union pays lip service to us.
So, Paul, what's your opinion on the letter that Scott first read at the beginning of the show?
About the chairman? Well, first of all, I'd like to say this. All the factors that affect production schedules are things that fall under management's arena. We don't buy parts. All we do is slap them together. And the thing is, if they can't meet their schedule, it's really their problem, but they're making it our problem. It's like, okay, they didn't do their job properly. What are we going to do to pick up the pieces and help them? And we've been doing this for far too long. When I was working in a plant, I had one of these jobs where, you know, the work pace was controlled by you. I worked on a small welder, and every once in a while, management would loan me out to another job, and then they'd bring me back to mine and say, oh, it's a hot job. You know, in other words, it's like they wanted me to work faster, and I had a partner, and I told him that a failure to plan on management's part does not constitute an emergency on my part. I'm not working longer, harder, and faster because management mismanaged. And we need to get back to that. Put the ball back in management's court. Because we can't make up for their...
Well, that's all the time we got tonight, folks.
Okay.
Scott said he's hard and he's got to get out at 8 o'clock, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
3 minutes.
I'm sorry.
Minutes,
Matt, wake up. I'm here.
Hasta la vista.
I wanted to know, because we have 3 minutes, I wanted to know, has anyone seen or heard anything else about the aerospace company, starts with a C, that was locked out? Have you heard anything else about them?
No. I know that Local 128 in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, they're on strike right now.
Well, they weren't on strike. They got locked out.
You're talking about Collins. Aerospace.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Local 128.
Yeah, they weren't on strike.
Yeah.
They were locked out by
the
company.
Nice. I thought they were on strike.
No, they were locked out. The
That's
company
right,
made an offer and said, this is our final offer, and they did not ratify that. And so they locked them out. So we got a negotiation
yeah.
in bad faith.
Yep. It's like the Henderson, Kentucky with Accuride Rims. Lock them out. Wow.
Yep. And then the UAW decertifies them because they wouldn't accept a bad contract.
Yep. No, I've not heard of anything. I will see if I can get a hold of somebody, see if they can find out something about that.
Yeah, please
do. Yeah. Oh, how funny. Ray Curry come
right.
out and make a...
All right.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just telling you, it'll be all right. I mean, Christ, it's like a bedtime story out here anymore. We're supposed to just be numb anymore. Adrian's right. If we don't stay on top of this shit, they push it back where we don't see it.
Yep. And our president can talk about helping poor, but don't hear a word about our locked-up brothers and sisters, do we?
No.
Crazy.
And then, see, they can't
Crazy.
Get strike pay. They can't get unemployment. I mean, it's ugly.
Yeah, ugly, real quick.
Real ugly.
All right. Well, guess we'll all have to see if we can find out what happened and see if we can talk about it next week then. Go from there.
Yes, we all have our assignments.
Yeah, there you go. You can find somebody to talk about, somebody about the EV and Ford, and find out what's going on in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
All right. Other than that, I guess that's it for tonight, folks.
Good night, you rabble-rousers. Have a good,
good
night,
good night
week, everybody.
Yep. Good night, everybody. Be safe and be careful, and we'll talk to you next Sunday. at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All righty.